Welcome to Farms Advice Agribusiness Podcast, the podcast for agribusinesses wanting to grow through finding the right opportunities and linking up with the right technology. We will be connecting you with the stories from across the sectors, leaving you with the tools and knowledge to implement into your own business. Follow us on our social media accounts at Farms Advice for further motivation to grow your enterprise. Welcome to the Farms Advice Agribusiness Podcast. Today, I have Emma Ayliffe in between Condobolin and Lake Angelico. She's a consultant, researcher, and the director of Summit Ag Agricultural Consulting, the co-founder of Yakka. G'day, Emma. How are you?
G'day. Good, thank you. How are you?
Going really well. A bit cold over here, but that's fine. How about yourself?
Yes, same. Nice and breezy. We've had a nice drizzly weekend, so everything's a bit damp, so definitely not complaining this time of year.
Not stopping you getting out in the paddock, though?
Oh, no, not really. And there's always plenty of stuff to do in the office, so yeah, you always find something to entertain yourself.
Yeah, I bet the dreaded office of most people that are probably listening to this don't like to do the office things, but it's always important.
100%. Unfortunately, that's where half your money's made, sitting in the office. Doing the pondering and the scheming and the big picture planning. So
very precisely. Important place to be. Yeah, excellent. So just to get us started, we'll talk to you and get your feedback of agribusiness and your personal experience, where you've come from and how it's led you to today.
Yeah, cool. So I am originally from South Australia. I grew up on a sheep station. Went to uni thinking I'd end up doing something along the lines of animal nutrition or something like that. Discovered while I was there that I actually liked plants better, a lot more interesting, and so left uni chasing a career in agronomy. Really lucky to get a job near where my parents were living at the time in the mid-north of SA, fresh out of uni as a graduate agronomist. And loved it, worked out there for 14 months before I decided that it was time for a scene change and just mix things up a bit. I loved agronomy, but I also loved the outback, and a job came up at a place called Lake Tandau near Menindi as an on-farm agronomist working out there growing cotton and durum wheat. So I applied for that job and was lucky enough to get it. Moved out there, worked out there for nearly 3 years before the farms were sold, and I was shifted to hay. Worked there for a year. With the sale of the farms, the business was restructured and my position was made redundant. And then got a job through my networks at Elders in Griffith, where I worked for 14 months before starting my own business 3 years ago.
Yeah, excellent. So, coming up through the ranks allowed you to create the foundation of starting out in agronomy, you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't beat hands-on experience. I will to this day, when I started doing cotton agronomy, I knew nothing about cotton. I was from South Australia. I'd seen cotton grow maybe once when I was at uni, knew nothing about it. And I will credit my knowledge and how far I've got from actually working as an on-farm agronomist and immersing myself in the production. So, being part of irrigation, being part of, driving the tractors and all of the implications that come with, managing, ordering simple things like ordering fertilizer, arranging spray planes, getting your hands dirty and understanding what the best practice is, but then also understanding what the realities of being on a farm is all about. You can't beat it.
Yeah, excellent. It's just understanding the whole process right the way through, isn't it?
Yeah, and I also, it gives me the ability to have some really great conversations with growers now because I've done some of the stuff that they've been doing. I've irrigated, I've driven tractors. I can go and have practical conversations around little adjustments that we can make, and I won't like sit and profess that I know the ins and outs of a John Deere tractor, because I certainly don't. But yeah. I have been in them and around them enough that you know, I can look at it and go, oh, you know, maybe this is wrong with your screen, or maybe this setting isn't quite right, or, you know, we can actually have some good conversations. It also, I think, allows me to call the BS when people are just spinning your yarn, hoping yeah. to kind of explain their way out of why something hasn't happened. And I can pretty quickly go, well, I know that's not true, because, you know, you've got to come up with a pretty good story, because I know that that's not how that typically works. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So from your like previous experience, you can draw on like the technical aspects from like others looking at you. It may look really simple and they like didn't need that advice, but that's from combining your years of knowledge coming up through the ranks, and actually understanding the full process.
100%. Yes.
Yeah, excellent. So for like going back to Menindee, there's a few difficult aspects out there, like the tough terrain for one. How did you navigate that? Is it like fully irrigational out there for you, or?
Yeah, it was. Yep, 100% irrigation. The biggest thing that we had out there was scale. So I call it now, on reflection, cotton growing on steroids. Yep. You know, it's not what a normal cotton grower does. Everything was bigger than Ben Hur. So a bit of a baptism of fire, but really good. Like, that's probably the biggest challenge, was understanding, you know, what are the capabilities of the farm, where do we lose our efficiencies, and then how do we design a program that allows us to really push the production as hard as we can and to the best of our ability within the constraints of that farm and the climatic conditions that we had to face.
Yeah, excellent. So you got a full understanding of how one particular farm works right the way through, which is excellent. Another, like, a might be a difficult one, but as a like younger female coming through the ranks, did you find this challenging? Like, it's excellent. I see like a lot of mates from my uni coming up through the ranks, specifically within agronomy. How did you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. And even still today, you know, I'm certainly not green anymore, but still there is a stigma around being a woman and being in agriculture with certain demographics and certain types of people. I quite often joke that you have to have a pretty thick skin to stay in the game, because people will test you and push your boundaries, so you need to understand your limits and also have to be strong enough to put your foot down when you're not comfortable in a situation, or when someone pushes the barrow. But at the same time, I think that as a female in agriculture, sometimes we think about things a little bit differently, and it comes with great benefits if we can stick it out and set our own boundaries. But yeah, it's not easy. It was funny, I was actually talking to a mate of mine not that long ago, who's a couple of years more experienced than me, and we said, you know, we kind of got to do twice the work and prove ourselves twice over to get the same amount of respect as a male at the same age as us a lot of the time, and it's disappointing, but it is the reality of the industry, which is slowly changing, which is a positive.
Yes, excellent. So do you think you've sort of busted through that stigma a bit more and people are taking you more serious, or that's a shake of the head there?
Depends on the industry, I would say, and not to pigeonhole people as a whole demographic, but if you take the irrigation and in particular the cotton industry, a lot of the growers that are going down that path, you know, they're the innovative ones, they're the ones at the best top of their game that are wanting to push the boundaries and are a bit more open-minded. And you can step in to a working relationship with a lot of those growers quite easily. They're quite open-minded, they're quite happy to have you as part of their team. When you start trying to step into, you know, older farming enterprises, certain ethnic backgrounds or real old school dryland farmers are a prime example. Absolutely yeah. not. You know, they are set in their ways, and some of them are very hard-headed and you know, I've had to tell people, well, your option is you deal with me or you go somewhere else, and they've chosen to go somewhere else, and as far as I'm concerned, that's their loss and one less headache for me. And you've got to get to that point where you can let go and not dwell on it and just accept the fact that you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but you can only be you, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, once you accept that and move on from that, you'll probably gain another two people that are accepting of that and do value like what you have to say for like within agronomy. As a woman, like, have you had a mentor at all coming up, like either through your previous jobs or just someone that you've looked to within the industry?
Yeah, and I think mentors, informal or formal, are really, really important aspects to have. I've never had a formal mentor of any description through my career, but I have been extremely lucky to work for and with some amazingly supportive people. One person in particular was the farm manager out at Tandau, a guy by the name of Rob Lowe. He still to this day is an incredible idea sounding board and someone to pull me back into the straight and narrow when I get a bit wayward. A genuinely good bloke that you can just have a great conversation with. And he took my abilities on face value and treated me equal. And he's this, you know, the guy that kind of said to me, you know, if someone's going to treat you like that, at the end of the day, you don't want to work for them or with them, because they're going to cause you more heartache than success. So, you know, just learn to take a deep breath and walk away and let, you know, water off a duck's back kind of thing. And that sort of advice and the ability to ring him up and have a bit of a blow up about someone or, you know, just have a real open and honest conversation about stuff has been invaluable. Absolutely.
For someone like yourself looking to reach out to someone, like, how often would you actually contact someone that you image as a mentor to yourself?
Look, really any time that I have a question or I just want to chew the fat. So there's probably three people other than like outside of my business partner that I would contact, and I would probably talk to them each once a month around various different issues or bounce ideas off of. And sometimes it's something insignificant and it's just a touch base and see what's happening and just maintain that relationship.
Yeah, excellent. I think like with people reaching out within ag, I think people are a bit worried that they're like, they're going to looked upon as they're stupid or something. They're not looking, but like you're actually gaining value from reaching out to people. It's just a simple message that could be on LinkedIn or Facebook even.
And I think, I think that's a really important message that you don't have to actually know the answers. Like, it's funny when you start out, it's fine to know nothing. You ask lots of questions, you ring people, and then you kind of get to that funny stage, you know, year three to five, when you're starting to not be green and you almost feel like the weight of the world to have the answers to everything, and you've got to get over that. Like, you really do, and be just forthcoming when you don't know the answer and be willing to admit it and reach out. You get a lot more respect from guys if you can actually be like, hey, mate, I don't know the answer, but leave it with me for half a day, than trying to BS some line together, which, you know, 2 weeks later turns out to be wrong.
Yeah. The beauty of ag is like the trial and error aspect coming in allows you that flexibility. So that's always good to know.
100%.
So going to your background of like education, so you've done like a master's of ag science. What was your undergraduate role?
So I went to the University of Adelaide and did a Bachelor of Science in Agricultural Science.
Yeah, excellent. And you've moved on to like UNE
currently? Yeah, when I started out at Tandau, never knew anything about cotton. So their first port of call was to put me through the graduate certificate in cotton production through UNE. So did that and then actually switched over to Charles Sturt and did a single subject in irrigation management to get my head around water to assist me in the job, and really, really enjoyed doing further education. So signed up to start my master's. When I was out at Tandau, I was actually started doing a project on the use of micronutrients to alleviate waterlogging, and then farms got sold, my position got made redundant, so my master's went on the back burner. And when I went to Elders, we started doing a lot of research and development style work. So I actually picked my master's back up and switched to coursework and started picking up the subjects that could help me fill the gaps in my new role with Elders. So I started doing a lot of the stats and the trial design and those sort of subjects. And then moving into Summit Ag and personally, me and my partner, we bought a farm. So I finished my master's off with a couple of business units. So UNE's been fantastic and that master's degree's been fantastic because I've kind of been able to tailor make the direction that I had based on where I was at in both my work and personal life stage. And yeah, that's been really invaluable.
Yeah. So what would you do that in the afternoon, or you'd actually have a day off here and there?
No, just squish it in. I'm a sucker for punishment early morning or a late night or a Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
You just get the job done out of the way.
Yeah, that's right.
It's interesting. Like, you went to UNE. Most of the people like I've contacted with the podcast just being a new one are from UNE. Like, I went to UNE and studied Bachelor of Ag, Agribusiness with Marketing Management.
Yep.
It's a good place to get your foundations just as kickstart your career off. So going back to like Summit Ag Consulting, where you are at the moment, you're based around the Griffith area predominantly, or?
So Summit Ag Consulting as a business, we span from just about Forbes, across to Lake Jellygo, down through Griffith, Leeton, Narrandera, Carrathool, and then as far south as Tokemoor and Kanago. So I'm based primarily in the northern zone, so do kind of east of Griffith and then up through Lake Jellygo and Forbes. Heath, my business partner, is based Griffith Carrathool, and we have a grad starting at the end of the month, and Sam will be based at Collyamberley, and then we have another agronomist based down at Kanago, Jemima.
Yeah, excellent. So you're getting a few K's under your belt throughout the days.
I think we worked out last year that Heath and I, we did 92,000 K's for the year.
Yeah, that's a fair few. Jumping paddock to paddock, of course.
Yep.
So for Summit Ag Consulting, what made you jump into it? Being quite young, wanting to start your own little agribusiness, may not be so little now, but talk me through that aspect of starting it.
Yeah. When I went to work for Elders, so I knew Heath, I rang him, and that's how I got the job there. And we started doing some research and development work underneath the Elders banner. So I'd spend half of my time consulting and half my time doing the research and development work. So running trials for various companies, focusing primarily in cotton because that's where the kind of hole was in the research space down around Griffith. So we had a really good first couple of years at it, but we started to find that for some of the really big, exciting projects from the well-named brands, they were reluctant to align with one reseller because they were worried that showing favoritism to a shirt colour, for want of better terms, would annoy the other people that they essentially had to work with in some way, shape or form. So that was probably the main reason that we stepped out, because we could see that we could get a lot more opportunities and really grow that research business if we were independent. The second thing is, with all big corporates, there's a lot of red tape and a lot of people that has to sign a piece of paper to get something across the line. Yep. So we started to find that by the time, we'd identify an opportunity and we'd go through the process, that opportunity had passed, we'd missed the boat. So we were constantly on the back foot playing catch up. So by being independent, it also allowed us to be a lot more reactive to what was going on and really jump on those opportunities without getting in trouble from head office.
Yeah, definitely. So you're like fast tracking a bit of R&D for yourself?
So we're doing all sorts of stuff. In the last 18 months, we've started to branch into horticulture. So we're doing development work for companies like Bayer Syngenta, and that sort of stuff. So everything from, you know, the stewardship work around the new Extend Flex cotton that's being released through to product testing in almonds, residue trials, all sorts of stuff for various companies, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to be able to work alongside them, but not be under their books, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, and we find, like, it's a beautiful, beautiful complement to our consultancy business because, you know, all of a sudden, Extend Flex, for example, in the cotton that's due to be released in 2023 or 22, whenever China decides to allow the seed, it'll come off of stewardship. And, you know, we're really lucky that, you know, we already have 2 years of working with that genetics, with those crops and understanding, you know, when you spray it, the crop's going to react like this. So we can preempt this stuff. So, you know, we're 2 years in front of a lot of other advisors that are going to get it and try it and then be like, oh shit, like, is it meant to look like that? You know, but we've been part of it and we've helped develop it. And it's the same, you know, when trialing other products in other crops or whatever, you know, we can see, you know, how fine a line we tread with things like phytotoxicity and stuff like that and have a really good understanding of those products before they're even commercial.
Yeah, excellent. So you get a bit of a look into the background of everything before it comes to light.
Yeah, exactly.
For like farms advice, we're looking to, as you said before, it's a bit more of a traditional industry within agriculture with values and also moving into like digital platforms, either that through websites and social media. What's your usage for this? Like, are you using social media a lot? Which ones and how's your website operate for you?
Yeah, so we jumped on the socials bandwagon only this year. So we've got Summer Ag on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We basically only started this year because we didn't have the capacity to run them to the level that we wanted to prior to this year. So we've been fairly active on them and look, I certainly don't think that we have got the strategy right in terms of engagement, but I'm doing a lot of it and I am, you know, slowly learning what is getting people engaged and what isn't and how do we generate conversations between current clients and potential new clients in the wider industry. But like with all social media stuff, you know, there are some growers that just don't want to interact on it or take part, I guess, in the keyboard aspect. So Heath and I actually have been going through the process of developing our own communication platform this year. It's called Yakka, and it's based purely and solely around the good old phone call. So what it looks and feels like is an app on your phone where you can create a network or a contact list of people that you know or people that you've had really great conversations with in the past. You can post a discussion point. This point is to generate conversation to try and entice someone to ring you that maybe can answer your question or is keen to have a chat about what you're keen to have a chat about. So, you know, it could be, who are you using to forward market your grain this year? You know, looking at upgrading my spray rig, who's got an opinion? And then you can either scroll through your contact list and see, you know, what your friends and stuff want to talk about, or you can scroll through the general Yakka list and find someone with common interests or just a really interesting discussion point that you'd like to talk to. So the whole point of this is sometimes it's really hard to have a meaningful conversation because that person you want to talk to isn't free. So it has an online, offline functionality. So if they're online, that means that they're free for a yak. They've got time. They can talk to you. So you can press a little green button and you can ring them then and there and have that conversation while you're, I know, spraying in the tractor or driving to town or whatever you might be doing. And if they're not online for a yak, then there's a flagging function. So you can actually flag that person and you'll get a notification when they come online. So if you're free, you can actually capture them at a time when they're free and you can have a really productive and meaningful conversation. And we think it just takes away, you know, that fear or uncomfortable, you know, keyboard war, everyone can read what you're saying, other people can throw opinions in. You just go back to that beautiful one-on-one constructive conversation.
Yeah, a bit more of like a controlled environment. But like
100%.
Using the like digital platform for you. So the digital aspects of saying that they're online and what the current conversation is of individuals.
Exactly. And then like for us, like a business, we can create our Summer Ag Network. We can put all of our clients in it. And then that takes away that stigma around the first phone call because you instantly already have something in common because you're both in the Summer Ag Network. So you know that you can have a conversation or you must be one of Heath's clients or oh, you're based down at Carrathool. How'd your cotton go this year? And it just helps to break down those barriers right from the start.
Yeah, excellent. So, like, drawing back onto ag tech, what other tech would you use throughout your day to make your day easier?
So probably the big ones for us is we rely heavily on numbers on our iPads. We've got a farm reporting template based on numbers that we use, which is invaluable for keeping track of farms and where everyone is up to. We use AgWorld primarily for doing recommendations and just farm mapping, which is extremely handy, great tool, great to have all your labels and everything downloaded, even if you're not in service, to look stuff up on the run. Love Satamap. So we subscribe to Satamap to get NDVIs every 3 to 5 days of all of our farms so that when we go onto farm, we have a bird's eye view of plant biomass and can structure our visits a bit better to make sure we're capturing the variation across the farm. And just it speeds us up. It makes us, helps us do a heaps better job, which is really handy. And then Soil Moisture Probe Network and Weather Station Networks. Invaluable.
Yeah, I bet. So you'd be using these all on the run, I imagine, not back in the office, which is excellent.
Yeah, so the iPad is the lifeline. If I lost my iPad, I'd probably cry.
Yeah, I bet. For for anyone looking to get into like agronomy, how would you tell them the best way?
I would highly recommend that you go and get a summer job while you're at uni, whether that is at Grain Corp at harvest time on the Weybridge, whether that's bug checking for an agronomist if you want to end up in the summer cropping irrigation industry in particular, whether that is working on a farm. Get some practical experience, go and get amongst it, make some networks and some contacts. Work out at uni who's who in the zoo and who are the people with the contacts. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's regardless of what stage you're at in your career. So make a really good network of people and take advantage of your networking opportunities. So, you know, if you get a ticket to Cotton Conference or a GRDC update, go around, you know, work out who the advisors are, where they are, try and find a creative way to bump into them, as nerve-wracking as it is, and strike up a conversation and get on people's radars.
Yeah, excellent. I think like the networking really pays off. I think I networked with you just because you'd gone to UNE and you're working within agribusiness. So that's excellent.
And agriculture is so small. Like if you know someone, then they probably know someone that knows someone. Like, yeah, don't underestimate the power of the network. But also I reckon when you leave uni, particularly in agronomy, don't get your heart set on ending up in a certain place, in a certain colour shirt right off the bat. It is very unlikely that you're going to get your dream job straight out of uni, and you do have to compromise, and sometimes taking a job that isn't exactly where you want to end up as a stepping stone is necessary, but it also could turn out to be one of the best things you ever do. Like with me at Tandow, like still to this day, one of the best jobs I've ever had.
Yeah, excellent. So for people, like we
can favor like different colored shirts throughout the industry, and it's always important to like take your focus off those and see like what else is going on in the world, as there's only a few big colored shirts going around, so it's good to support the small guys. And then like joining, so like Sam coming on recently for you, I bet that's like exciting for you to bring another person on, but also for him, as he's like, he's a younger person, I imagine.
Yeah, so Sam, Sam's actually been doing some summer work for us. So once again, through networks, met Heath. We got him a summer job irrigating on one of our clients' farms. The next summer, he came back and helped manage a farm that we run, and did some bug checking. And now he's graduated. He is meant to be traveling the world, but care of COVID, he isn't going to get there. Exactly. So he's coming to start with us. So for Sam, Heath and I both are from an on-farm background, and we recognize the importance and the value of those skills. So we've kind of put him through the ringer a little bit to make sure that he's got the right background and the right skill set to fit in with us and move forward. But yeah, very exciting times for us and hopefully for him.
Yeah, that's excellent to be growing your team as well. How many do you have in your team down there?
Heath and I are the co-directors and both advisors. And so we have got Sam, who will be our grad. We've got one part-time agronomist at Canago, another part-time agronomist, Steve. He's on sabbatical at the moment. We'll just see what happens with water, whether he comes back next year or continues on his sabbatical. And then we have a person that does accounts for us 3 days a week. And I've just put on a part-time tech officer to help out with the trial work. So,
perfect. Sounds like it's all going very well for you. Just
be good when it rains and the rivers run.
Yeah, definitely. We all need a bit of water running down those rivers. For the Farms Advice Agribusiness podcast, who would you like to hear on it next and why?
I would love it if you could interview Sally Murfitt from down in Taz. She's got a really interesting background and story. And for me, she's on my radar at the moment. So she does a lot around succession planning and farm business management, which is very relevant to me in my life stage at the moment. Yeah. And she's just an incredible person with a very cool story.
Where did you say she's based? Tasmania?
Down in Tassie, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's good to, like, I'm trying to reach every area of agribusiness. And it's good to have a few Tassie people joining the crew.
Yeah, well, I can share contact details with you.
That'd be excellent. Thank you very much. So for anyone looking to contact you, how can they do that? Is that via social media or...?
Yeah, look, the usual streams, look up Google Summit Ag, Agricultural Consulting. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can find Yakka also on Twitter, or do a Google search and you can jump on our website and get in touch with us at our info@summitag.com.au, or look me up direct.
Perfect. Just before we go, is Yakka rolled out yet?
Yes, it is. It's live, free to download. So, really encourage everyone to jump on and have a play, see what you think, pose a really interesting discussion question and see if you can prompt me to give you a call. And if you've got any feedback or ideas around what we're doing or how we can do it better, please reach out to us at hello@yakka.com.au.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Emma. Seems like you're making waves within the industry and your own little niche. Great to chat.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to the Farms Advice podcast. I hope that we can help you fill in the gaps of your business to help you grow into the future.
If you'd like to get in touch, see how we can grow your agribusiness, please visit us at farmsadvice.com.au. Please share this podcast with your colleagues, friends and family to help us find the right audience to improve Australian agribusiness. Hope to see you next time. Cheers.